Call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Monday to you. This is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Hope you had a good weekend. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking about the Knicks because everyone's talking about the Knicks. They've won 9 in a row. They're winning games, and everybody seems to like this. Why? It's going down that old, the NBA is better when, and the Knicks being good is on that list. We'll talk about that coming up. Larger picture into the Knicks' success and why people around the league are excited. Plus, the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, Atlanta with the 4th pick. Everyone's going to be wanting to get that. If you're a quarterback-oriented team that needs a QB, and that's where you're targeting, Atlanta has got that pick for you. But is the price now too high to get it from them? We'll examine as one team has already set the bar. It may be April, but we're getting a great baseball rivalry out west and another thrilling game in what is going on in the NL West. Plus, I have a quick review, and I'll keep it quick because it was pretty uneventful weekend for me, of the winner of the Best Picture from last night's Academy Award. I actually saw Nomadland. I'll give you a quick review of that. But with all the focus on the NFL draft coming up, and one in particular, Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be the number one overall pick by Jacksonville, it is accumulation of something we've been waiting on for a long time. When Trevor Lawrence got to Clemson, those who are really kind of know college football and know recruiting and follow that avenue knew he would be a successful quarterback. He had all the tools coming out of high school to be successful. But for a lot of people around the country, for a lot of people who follow it, you know, college football kind of more on a larger scale than the individual ACC teams, Trevor Lawrence came out on that night in Santa Clara, California, when he beat Alabama, I should say, for the national championship. When he beat the Crimson Tide and handedly his freshman year, that's when people started saying, this is an NFL superstar. This is a factory-built quarterback that has got all the NFL tools, even at his young age. We will see further development, but he's already got it. Thursday is when the accumulation of all that conversation hits the stage in Cleveland when he is the number one pick. We'll talk more about that coming on the show today. But is sports better when certain teams are winning? It seems the NBA thinks so with the Knicks.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exogen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. And Exogen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exogen.com. Glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So don't look now. The New York Knicks have won 9 in a row as they are now locking in 4th in the Eastern Conference standings so far. Atlanta tied with them with the same record, so a little battle there. The top three teams in the East, still Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee, but everyone's buzzing about the Knicks. And why? Because it's a sports narrative that you get in a lot of leagues where you take a couple of teams that are important to the league or the development of the league, or they have a unique fan base or whatever it may be. And you say, well, I'm glad that team's successful because whatever is better when whoever is winning. We see it in the NFL all the time. Dallas Cowboys winning games, making the playoffs. The NFL's better when the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs. I think it's a little lazy to say that. I think it's just somewhat cliche because you can't really quantify that. But I will say this. I don't necessarily I would replace the word better with interesting. It's more interesting when the Cowboys are winning games and making the playoffs. It's more interesting when the Yankees and the Red Sox are battling in the East rather than Tampa Bay winning it. It's more interesting when the Knicks are winning games and are successful and playing well and making a run towards the playoffs. I don't necessarily think it's better. But it is interesting because the Knicks are one of those franchises that hasn't had success in a very long time. They haven't won a playoff series since, what, 2000? They haven't been to the playoffs since 2013 when Carmelo Anthony was playing for them. So they haven't been successful. They've sort of been a butt of jokes. They haven't had success even when Phil Jackson came in with his high salary. They couldn't turn it around. They've gone through a number of different coaches, can't find any that works. They traded Kristaps Porzingis during Super Bowl week in 2019. People thought that they were insane. They blow draft picks. They can't seem to get the top one, like the number one. All the odds that they've had in the draft, they can't seem to lock in one, you know, the number one overall pick. Right? It's just accumulation of things that have made them the butt of jokes for a while. But Madison Square Garden, a rabid fan base in New York City. I mean, rabid fan. They'll sell out the Garden no matter what. It doesn't matter what their record is. They'll sell out the Garden during non-pandemic years when you could actually fill an arena. And now they're winning games. And they're doing so with a guy who has a reputation of sort of wearing out his welcome over a period of time. Tom Thibodeau is like a diet. It's great when you start it. It's great when you're on it. You lose in weight, but eventually you can't stick to it. Eventually it gets tiring. And you know what happens? You get a little hangry and you don't want to be on it anymore. You want some pizza and wings. And that's what happens with Tom Thibodeau. He's a diet you can't sustain. And here's the thing. You're losing weight. And in the Knicks' case, you're winning games. In Chicago's case, winning games. In Minnesota's case, winning games. And then after a while, nobody wants to play for him anymore. But right now, while the pot is boiling with all the good things like Julius Randle having a resurgence of his career, right? R.J. Barrett playing well. Emmanuel quickly becoming like a shooting star. You got Derrick Rose on this team as the third leading scorer. And you've got a coach whose defensive philosophy is working. And players who are completely and utterly buying in on it. Who know, you know, hey, look, I'm having success. Keep this up. Like I said, like a diet where you're losing weight initially, but you can't sustain. But I think it would be unfair to sort of project Thibodeau's eventual demise, as he seems to always have, because you don't know. Right, we don't know. Maybe this group of Knicks just stays with them and their success. Now, look, the Knicks in the past 20, 25 years, maybe going back a little longer to 94, they've made two runs at an NBA championship. 94, losing to the Rockets in 7, and then losing to the Spurs in a year where there was a lockout in the NBA. But in 99, they played San Antonio for the NBA championship, losing to the Spurs. But I remember that 94 team because it was a special summer in New York City because the Rangers were playing the Vancouver Canucks to win the Stanley Cup, and the Knicks at the same time were playing in the NBA Finals. And in the final game of that series with Houston, John Starks, a beloved Knick guard, pretty much shot the Knicks' chances when he couldn't hit anything and kept trying to shoot his way into success in a Game 7. I've always been critical of Starks, by the way, just a side note, because I always thought they always say if you're a shooting guard, especially, you shoot your way out of a slump. And I always said, well, do you really need to shoot your way out of a slump into the 7th game of a series? Wouldn't you at some point in a 7th game of an NBA Finals go, hey, I don't seem to have it tonight. Here, you take opportunities. I'm not going to start clanking threes all night long here as we shoot our way out. In fact, the New York Post had a great headline. They had a picture of just sullen John Starks with the headline, clang, 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 went the title. Because Starks was missing everything. But, it goes back to a larger picture. Maybe you don't care about the Knicks and whatnot, but you are familiar with the term, right? When people use it all the time, that sports is better when golf, sports is better when Tiger Woods is in contention. I remember NASCAR, right? It was always NASCAR was better when Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon were fighting for the lead. There's always an element. There's always something in sports that says if we can just get this one team or this one circumstance, it makes the sport better. And a lot of it has to do with fan bases that have been around a long time, have had success in the past, have a rabid fan base, or in a market or in a large market. And in the Knicks' case, they sort of click off all the boxes. They've got a rich history. They haven't won a title since the 70s, but they've had a rich history, and they've got a celebrity fan base. Again, when you go back to the pre-pandemic world of full arenas, Madison Square Garden is a fantastic place to be for a Knicks. It's a fantastic place to be, and they have a fan base that, and we've talked about it at various times when James Dolan is fighting Charles Oakley, for example. There's a fan base that is so in love with that organization, but not in love with the person that owns it. It's as if the city, like a lot of cities in America, feels like they really own the team. That there's a person writing checks, but he's not really the owner. They really own it. That's part of the fabric of their city. That's part of the fabric of their youth and their home is Knicks basketball. You know, you can see the Yankees winning World Series. Heck, you can see the Rangers winning a Stanley Cup like they did 25 years ago. But a Knicks championship, a Knicks Larry O'Brien trophy is going to have a level of a special feeling. Right? It's to be... You know, if you look at it from the direction of the sports and how that city, is divided between Mets fans in this section of the city in these boroughs and Yankee fans over on this side. When you look at the Rangers, and then there's Islander fans, on Long Island. There, now they play, some of their games in Brooklyn. You had the Nets, which were over in New Jersey, but the Knicks sort of were the only New York City-based team since the Nets went over to New Jersey. But people are really excited. Are they championship excited? No. It's a long time coming for a franchise that we've been picking on for a while. And when I say picking on, I mean it. We've kind of had a lot of fun at this expense of this team, paying a boatload of money to a guy in Phil Jackson who really did nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing while he was running that organization. And again, the decisions that later panned out, that seemed dumb at the time, but later panned out, like saying, we need to free up some money. We need to free up some cap money. So Kristaps Porzingis has to be traded. And he's the unicorn, and he's one of the few bright spots in a city in a basketball team in the city that doesn't have any. But we got to get rid of him because the future is where we're heading. And sometimes you have to make those tough decisions. And sometimes you have to do it while you are just hearing about it and everybody's screaming. Even smart basketball fans that know you have to do it. But it still doesn't hurt any less. And now, 9-game win streak and has sort of captured the sport. We'll see how far it could go. I mean, the team is fun to watch. Julius Randle is just playing great. I mean, he's in his seventh season now. He's playing fantastic. Emmanuel Quickley, though, is the funnest player on the team. Loves to shoot. Will shoot all night. Very Starks-oriented. But they've got a lot of good things going for him. A lot. Not Brooklyn good yet. Not Philadelphia good, but still good enough none the same. All right.
But it's kind of fun, right?
Oh, good. Yeah, I think it's a blast. I think it's a blast. And you know what's a blast? I follow a lot of friends of mine on Twitter and social media, Facebook and whatnot, who are diehard Knicks fans. I mean, I'm serious, like buy NBA League Pass to watch them every night. And just to see their joy is great.
Well, I mean, because you think about it, this franchise suffered.
Oh, God.
I mean,
when we were in Denver watching, doing the Carmelo Anthony watch, and we did it every night, right? For the one season, 2010/2011, we were doing it every night. When is Carmelo getting traded? When's he getting traded? And we used to laugh at the idea that he'd want to go to New York and play in a crappy Knicks team when he could build something. He was going to the playoffs every year with the Nuggets, right? They weren't winning, but they were going to the playoffs. They went to a Western Conference final. We'd laugh and like, why would you go there? Like, it's just a soul sucking city.
Yeah.
will drive you insane. You won't win. And he had a great year in 2013, and they did make the playoffs. But they haven't won a playoff series in 21 years. That's a long time. Listen, do I know how long it's been for other – no, I don't. I don't know how long it's been since Orlando won a playoff series. But the Knicks, because they're a prominent franchise in this league, people know. They say it all the time.
That's who they are. It's their history.
It's their history.
We care about the Knicks because, I mean, first of all, they're the biggest media market. They are New York City's team. And they haven't been relevant, God, I feel like, since, like, Patrick Ewing took them to the finals.
Yeah.
Even the Carmelo Anthony years were almost laughable.
That's right. They did not win a playoff series when Carmelo got there. Carmelo had great years, but they never won a playoff series. Again, go back. And the 99 team is weird because of a lockout, and I don't really. But the 94 team was probably their best team. I mean, that was an excellent, excellent team. But that's forever ago. Forever ago. It's a generation ago. But, you know, I mean, look, the league rigged the draft so Patrick Ewing could play there, allegedly. So, all right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. All right, Thursday night is the draft, and we know that the Atlanta Falcons with the number 4 pick, they've got the key to this draft. We figure quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, but the Atlanta Hawks have the key. But is the price too high, and who made it that way? When we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. As we continue along on a Monday, again, Thursday, we've got the NFL Draft coming up. We'll talk some more about some of the interesting placements of teams and what they could be doing with those selections. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after a mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Real quick, Michael on Twitter reminded me, the 94 Knicks team had another historic moment with the famous O.J. Simpson white Bronco run. Yeah, remember that? NBC and Bob Costas was trying to dual broadcast that thing?
I think you saw it differently than I did. Because for me, the NBA championship was in the smaller screen.
Yeah.
When they tried to do their own picture in picture.
Absolutely. They were really confused. Everybody was going to the live coverage. Like ABC and NBC was going, I mean, CBS was going to the straight
Yep.
live coverage, and the NBA, you know, the NBC is like, well, shoot, we got a game that's about to start.
We got finals.
What are we going to do here? And they knew, like, America's attention wasn't on this basketball game.
No. It was game two or game three,
yeah,
too?
It wasn't even a final game. It was just a game in the series. Then they had to go to, they just went to the split screen, and Costas was tossing it over there.
Well, because I've seen photos of, like, East Coast where the Knicks are the big screen and O.J. Simpson, right? But for me,
well,
on the West Coast,
your local affiliate must have.
Ours was flip flop because, hey, that's on our freeways.
Well, you got the local. You were getting the local thing. Yeah. You weren't getting NBC. NBC's feed would be national. You'd get it no matter where. They wouldn't change the feed for a particular location. So your local affiliate took over
yep.
the broadcast and then took the NBC signal and did their own superimposing of their local coverage.
The one thing that always sticks out in my mind about that chase is how many people were lined on the freeways, on the bridges.
I know. Before smartphones or any other yep. fancy technology.
People had billboards at the ready, and I'm like, how did this happen?
It must have been, you know, listening on the radio going, all right, he's heading out. Let's get there as soon as we can.
Well, everyone kind of knew. I mean, you know LA's freeways, and everyone knew, like, oh, he's going this way, he's going this way, and everyone was assuming, oh, he's going home to Brentwood.
Right.
So then it's easy to figure out which way he's going to be.
But there was... In the sort of documentary, the O.J. Made in America, they, like, one person saw him and pulled over to one of those emergency phones that you got on the side of the road when you break down.
Yeah,
and he called that in, that they saw Al Cowings and O.J. Simpson in the white Bronco and where they were. That's how sort of grew that way. Yeah, Michael, good point. That's that Knicks finals with Houston.
Maybe that was the death of the Knicks.
Could be.
Because we cared more about them.
Still blaming John Starks, man. I'm still blaming John Starks. And John Starks, I'm not a Knicks fan, so I can't really blame him. I don't care. But my father's a big Knicks fan. So, I don't know how much he hates John Starks. No, you love these guys. That's the thing. They're beloved, even if John Starks is still beloved. We talked about this with Charles Oakley getting it with James Dolan. Oakley's a beloved Nick. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Charles Oakley. The way he played, his tenacity, his toughness. Beloved Nick. When he got kicked out of the Garden, he rallied people around him.
And that must sting James Dolan because
absolutely
knowing that, hey, the fan base will choose Oakley over you.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely. Like I said earlier, they feel like it's theirs. Like you may write the checks. You may technically own it, but you don't really own it. You know, it's kind of ours. Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons with the number 4 pick Thursday night. Really, all right, we kind of know that they really have a key here to unlocking fun in the draft. The first 3 picks are going to go quarterbacks. The thing is, we don't know. We know Trevor Lawrence. We feel like we got Zach Wilson in the 2 slot. That seems to be being confirmed all the time, or it just seems to be sort of taken for granted. Now, San Francisco with the 3 pick are going quarterback, but Mac Jones, Trey Lance, that seems to be leaning in that direction. That means Justin Fields' stock is going to fall even further, and I still don't get it. But Atlanta at the 4 holds the key, right? Is there a defensive player on the board worthy of the 4th overall pick in the draft? Probably not. So now they're open to pass that along to a team that's willing to come in and take it. But as people are starting to recognize, when the San Francisco 49ers got the 3 pick, they paid a lot for it in terms of capital, in draft capital. And even though the Falcons are 1 down, if you're the New England Patriots and you want to move up to try to trade, first of all, good luck getting it from Atlanta. But even if you did, Atlanta's going to want a Pirates ransom, right? They're just going to want to take so much that's going to make you go, oh, okay, well, go get it. That's the way it's going to work. That's what you're going to start seeing on as the buzz starts occurring for the Falcons with that 4 pick, is how costly it's going to be for a team to jump up there and grab it. And what's going to happen most is this. You're going to see a lot of action on that pick once San Francisco makes their selection, because there are going to be teams who are going to evaluate these quarterbacks a little differently, right? So there's going to be some teams that are going to have Justin Fields pretty high. They're going to like some of the things. They're going to ignore some of the negative things that have been reported. They're going to do their own evaluation and say, you know what, Justin Fields is our guy. And if he's available, if he can be available with the 4th overall pick, this is what we're going to be willing to do for Atlanta. Now, maybe Trey Lance or Mac Jones is on that board as well, but maybe not as high. Right? Maybe not as high. So they want a quarterback, but, well, we would sacrifice X, Y, and Z for Justin Fields or Mac Jones, whoever's left over, but we wouldn't for the other guy. That's the way it's going to be. Now, there's going to be some teams that are like, I don't care, I need a quarterback, I don't care who it is, I'll just take who's ever left over, I just want it. Whatever you want for that pick, we'll give it to you. That's another consideration. If Atlanta picks 4th and takes Kyle Pitts, then I'll believe that Atlanta got some offers that weren't satisfactory to what they were looking at, really loved Kyle Pitts, and said, you know what, we're taking him. He's not going to be available wherever we fall after swapping picks with somebody. Kyle Pitts ain't going to be around. We have an opportunity to take this guy. Great tight end. Could be a real nice addition to our offense. We're going to take him. Then I'm just going to go by the idea that they answered the phone, but really weren't interested in talking. If they take a defensive guy, first of all, I'll be like, man, that is Arthur Smith must have been told not to take Kyle's. Arthur Smith is an offensive guy, all right? Arthur Smith, knowing from him here in Tennessee and Nashville, would love Kyle Pitts, all right? Let me just make this clear. Would run to the podium to get Kyle Pitts. But if he does go defense, this is a team that is just settled on need. I don't care who's on the board. And 2, and this is the key, 2, nobody's offer interested them at all. None. I will tell you, those 2 scenarios just don't look like realities to me. They just don't. It does not look like the Atlanta Falcons are going to be at the four spot picking a player who plays on the defensive side of the ball. It's either Kyle Pitts or they're trading. Coming up, baseball, and we got a rivalry out west. And funny thing is, we have a guy here on the show who's interested in this rivalry. Plus, Madison Bumgarner threw a no-hitter, kinda, next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, this segment is presented by Progressive Insurance. Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Jamar Chase join host Nate Burleson in the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. No fluff questions, just fluffy pillows. Watch Up All Night exclusively on YouTube.com/Progressive. That's a pretty good lineup for Nate Burleson. That's awesome. Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Jamar Chase. That's great. Fields especially. Why is his stock falling? I don't get this. Am I the only one?
No. I don't understand. No, you are not the only one.
I can't be the only one, right?
You're not. Why
do I feel like every time they're talking about quarterbacks like Justin Fields?
I think it is? He needs to play Clemson again.
I think so, too.
Right now.
Do we have to remind people what he did in that game with a busted rib?
Yeah. I guess it would set it up for Wednesday?
Yeah.
Does Wednesday work for everybody?
Right. Exactly. Golly. And I mean, this is not, I'm not knocking Trey Lance or Mac Jones. I mean, if they beat him as an evaluation, all right, this, you know, whatever.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Big Ten kept flip-flopping?
Nah, I don't know. It seems like it's too important. The NFL is too important. You got to get that position right. Those kind of things on the outside. This is one of the things that drives me crazy when I hear people say, like with Trevor Lawrence, right? When Trevor Lawrence made those comments and everybody wanted, all the talking heads were like, I don't know, man, this could hurt him. How would it hurt him? Like who's going to ignore 1,000 great things that he has going for him as an NFL quarterback for the one thing that is just a stupid, silly statement in a magazine? Like, who's going to go, oh, no, all the boxes are checked, but I can't do it, man. I can't pull the trigger because of this comment to a reporter. Like, unless it's like criminal, or unless it's real like something big time character, then you would say, of course. Remember Lyle Collins at LSU? Remember his story at the draft? The former Cowboys offensive lineman?
Yes.
Playing at LSU, remember? And then his girlfriend was found murdered on draft day, right? It was either the day before, and he was a suspect. But he wasn't a suspect like they had evidence. He was just going to be questioned. Like, hey, when was the last time you saw her? Just can you clarify some details between your relationship? We're just looking into this. We have a woman here. We're trying to find out her backstory. She dated you. When did you last see her? Just those. And people are like, can't touch him. Because they didn't know. Teams didn't know if they were going to draft him. They were going to waste a first-round pick on a guy that was being questioned by authorities. And they didn't know if he was going to get arrested, if he actually did it. They didn't know. It was just timing was off.
Well, the police cleared him. In a routine thing.
Yeah. Police cleared him. He became an undrafted free agent, signed with Dallas, and became a big star.
Yep.
You know, on the offensive
line. Went from top five pick to... He was probably. I think he was even looked at as a top five pick, right?
Yeah, he was. He was a very talented offensive lineman. He was going to go in the first round.
Oh, that was.
But that weekend was nobody wanted to touch him.
I remember Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, Tunsil.
When that video,
right. Yeah.
The gas mask.
That's
video
right.
popped up,
That's
and
right.
he went from a high round draft pick to late. Well, I think he still won the first round though.
Right. So I'm not saying personal stuff can't affect your draft. It certainly can. Things involving, you know, the way your team handled something or your conference handled, that's probably a little too much on the outside, you know. But whatever it is, it's so funny because you got to, and I've said this many times, guys, that you have to weed out a lot of this information. A lot of this stuff is flinging dirt all over the place. See where it sticks. Where does it land? Who takes the bait, right? 49ers are interested in Mac Jones. Let's just see where it lands, right? You know, who cares where the 49ers? I couldn't care less. If the 49ers are throwing shade at whatever, like, just get to, they don't. If we think it's Lawrence Wilson, then the 49ers can take whoever they want. right? Who has ever left? They weren't in the running for Trevor Lawrence. They weren't in the running for Wilson. They get the best of the rest of the quarterbacks.
And that's what's always surprising to me, because we've known Trevor Lawrence for 3 years that he was going to go first overall, without a question. Yep. And then it was always surprising, like, okay, who's doing, I guess, the best campaign job for number two?
Right, exactly, right.
Because we have no idea if Zach Wilson's going to be better than, you know, Trey Lance or Justin Fields or anybody, you know, insert your quarterback there.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be the worst of the lot, but for whatever reason, Zach Wilson's got the right campaign manager.
It does feel, it's as I was saying at the top of the show, it does feel so, it's in the NBA, when you have a Zion Williamson, for example, the time between we start to really get to know a kid on the national level to the time he's drafted in the NBA is so short, right? Because the college basketball season really starts turning people's attention in January, February, when conference season starts. So you get a kid like Zion Williamson who goes to Duke, and maybe he's doing some good things in the Maui Invitational. But we as a society, for the most part, are too busy with other things to pay attention. So we hear about some things. We're like, oh, he's a good player. Great. Blah, blah, blah. And then college basketball starts getting its place on the calendar, and you start noticing, okay. But then he's done, right? Then he gets to March Madness, and he's done, and he goes to the NBA draft in June, and then boom. Football, because of the time between the time you graduate high school to the time you can be an NFL player, there's length. It is rare to see somebody that is like freshman. He's going to be the number one pick as soon as he gets to the pros. Like that, we don't get that. We don't get that very often. A player that we say, number one, 3 years from now, number one overall. We did that with Trevor Lawrence. We did it with Trevor Lawrence. From the second he started emerging as a real good college football player his freshman year at Clemson, where he had a team that was in contention for the national championship throughout the season, running through the ACC, and then especially when he beat Alabama and the rest of the world caught up, we've been waiting for this date. We've been waiting for this date. We figured he wouldn't stay his senior year. We've been waiting for this date, and he has lived up to all that. He didn't drop. He didn't have a bad year. We would question it. And more importantly, nobody else came up and took it from him like a Joe Burrow, like he did at LSU, where Joe Burrow went from nobody to number one overall pick in a very quick amount of time. One season. That's why I said he was the Robert Johnson of college quarterbacks. He went down to the crossroads, made some sort of deal with some supernatural power, went to New Orleans, went to Louisiana, and became a superstar. But Trevor Lawrence did not go down that route. You know, Joe Burrow was at Ohio State, couldn't land the job there, was not impressive enough, went to LSU, hooked up with Joe Brady, won a Heisman, won a national title, became the number one overall pick, literally overnight. That's not the trajectory of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence's trajectory has been mega, mega superstar high school recruit, freshman that starts, freshman that wins national title, freshman that wins national title beating one of the predominantly best college football programs of our time. All the right tools, size, strength, everything. Number one overall pick. 2021, he will be the number one overall pick. And he is. He is. He did nothing in the span in the three seasons of college football, he did nothing to dissuade us that was overblown. It's exactly where he was going. Amazing. Real quick, Padres and Dodgers last night. The Dodgers had a 6-run lead and blew it, and the Padres won the game.
I don't know what you're talking about, Tony.
I know
that,
you
that
do.
That game did not exist at
you
all.
Better, because this Padres team is coming for the crown.
God.
They are coming for the crown. This is no joke.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of these Padres overextending their welcome.
These taco uniforms? What are we talking about here? My goodness.
I'm going to put my fandom aside. What a fantastic series.
Unbelievable series. It is going to be great, and a majority of America will not get to watch most of these fantastic battles.
Yeah, stay up, people. Stay up. It's worth it.
It's April, and they've played 7 games, and they have been fantastic games.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a dull one yet, right?
No, I don't think so either. I don't think there has been a blah, whatever. You've got, I mean, look, we kind of figured it, right? Like, we figured, you know, look, Padres are built to be good, right? They're built to be good. Dodgers are built to be a world championship team, right? The Padres are built to be excellent, but the Dodgers are built to win a World Series. And we'll win World Series convincingly.
And that will happen.
Likely still will happen. It's not like the Padres are on the back heels of the Dodgers. I mean, it's still early, but they're still, like, what, two games out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the Padres are competing for the division right now.
No, but, I mean, the way they played, this is one of those telltale signs that, all right, you know, this is going to be a two-horse race throughout the rest of the season.
Right.
And in the West. The thing, or in the National League.
Okay, do you remember in Rocky II where Apollo Creed was in his desk screaming that he wanted a rematch?
Yeah.
And his manager said, he's all wrong for us, baby. He's all wrong for, like, trying to convince him, you got to let this go. That's a bad opponent. We saw that man get knocked down, and he came after you, right? That's the Padres to the die. If you're Dave Roberts, that's how you should feel about the Padres in the postseason, right? Doesn't matter how the Padres get it. Doesn't matter if you win the division. Doesn't matter if you have home field advantage. That's a bad opponent. That's an opponent that believes they can beat you, knows they can beat you, and will come after you with everything they have. Dodgers can beat anybody in the National League. Beat anybody in the American
League. They can.
Without question. This Padres team, I wouldn't want to touch them. Because I think you knock them down, they come right up. They're like Rocky Balboa. They rise back up on that campus.
Come on. Yesterday, I'm watching this game, smooth sailing. You know, a little rough around the edges in the early innings. But then, you know, the Dodgers settled. It felt like the Dodgers settled down and said, you know, wait a second. We're the Dodgers. What are we doing?
Right.
And then just started playing their ball. And then we're just cruising into the latter half of the innings. And it's, you know, we're supposed to be routine now, right? 1-2-3. We're just bringing a pitcher, mows him down. And, yeah, the wheels fell off. And, I mean, I felt like once the Padres have that swagger, then they're unstoppable.
I agree completely.
That's what it felt like. I mean, they know that, like, hey, we can come back. We can win this game. But it was once they got the swagger. Once they were feeling that juice, that they knew, like, oh, we're going to win this game.
Not a doubt in my mind.
And
you could see the Padres being like, hey, you know what? We'll have our ups and downs during the season against everybody else. But when we play the Dodgers, watch it. We are going to really show who we are.
Yeah.
And especially if they get
almost
the
feel like they're going to take games off when they play the Giants or Diamondbacks.
Right, exactly, right?
Like, it's no, save it. Save it. We got Dodgers coming up this weekend.
I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. Going to be fun. Dodgers and Padres. I know, again, a lot of us don't live in the time zone appropriate to watch them when they duke it out on a Tuesday in July, but it's good baseball right now.
It really is.
Coming up, I got to see Nomadland over the weekend, the one that won Best Picture, Frances McDormand. I'll give you my quick review of that in case you were wondering if you should watch the 2020 Best Picture. It's 2020, right? This is the 2020 season. Is that how they work it?
I think so.
Very similar to our Super Bowl problem where you win it in 2019, but it's for the 2018 season.
But haven't we seen in the past, like, if a movie was released in January, it's like
they just slide it in real quick? Yeah, I think so.
Because then we can't wait a whole calendar year, like, for people to remember. Remember this movie came out?
Anyway, quick review of Nomadland, who won Best Picture last night, as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. The Oscars were last night. Apparently, I didn't watch one second of it. I've been reading how terrible it was. They saying it was awful.
I watched the last 5 minutes, I think. I don't even know if it was that. I had it on while I was doing the dishes. So.
They said boring, no humor, badly produced. You know what? Can we give a hats off to our world in sports? Last year during the pandemic, the NFL draft was pulled off and actually was amazing for a pandemic broadcast with Zoom and all of that stuff. It was actually really well done for what it could give America. Like, hey, we're not doing boats here and at the Bellagio, but this is what we got. They say last night was a mess. A mess. Production-wise was terrible. Just a disaster. Absolute disaster. Anyway, Nomadland. Frances McDormand, she starred in Nomadland, and that won Best Picture. So it's on Hulu, and I was perusing through Hulu on Saturday afternoon, and I saw it, and I said, well, Brian Pruitt told us this was going to win Best Picture. So, you know what? It's an hour, I think 40 minutes. I said, I'll watch it. Okay, it's beautifully shot. Cinematography is beautiful. Fantastic. It's about a woman who's run into some bad luck. The town in Nevada that she's from, plant closes down. Her husband dies. She's got no money. So she lives in her van. She basically is a nomad. She travels in her van and she lives in it. She has built her van out so she could live in it. She goes down to Arizona where a bunch of other van dwellers live. They're led by this guy. And apparently there are real life nomads in the movie. They found people who do this. The guy who is famous for it on YouTube, he's got a YouTube channel where he teaches people how to escape the shackles of a capitalistic society and live out of your van in your retirement years. He's in the movie as a real person. And Frances McDormand plays this woman who just basically lives out of a van. She has opportunities to live in a house. She's offered two opportunities to ditch the lifestyle and just move into her sister's house and a guy that wants to date her in her later years and says, we could live with my son and his wife in this guest house. She turns him down. She wants to live free in the van. She works odd jobs. She works at Amazon. She works at a restaurant. She gets somehow she works these jobs, but has no money whenever she needs it. I don't know what she does with it. Never really make a point. But to be honest with you, the movie was kind of boring. I wanted to like it because it was beautifully shot, but it was boring. And it was boring. It doesn't make a speech about anything. It doesn't say capitalism stinks and this is terrible. Look at America. It doesn't make that kind of political statement. Just a woman living in a van, seems to like it. She's kind of lonely. She drives around the country and that's it. It's not the best picture I've ever seen in my life. Unforgiven. Now that was a movie. Oh my God, that's got to be 30 years ago. Unforgiven. That was great. All right, wake up call.